Oh, that's rich. I don't trust you. Like, that's the thing. That's hilarious. That is absolutely hilarious.
What's up, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of Politically Uncorrect, the safe space for socially unacceptable commentary. I know it's been a long time since we dropped an episode, and honestly, it's probably going to be even longer until this episode comes out, because I don't know when I'm going to actually go through and edit this. You know, one of these days, I would just like to trust that whatever comes out of my mouth, I'm comfortable with being out there. One of these days, I'm going to trust that. But today's probably not going to be one of those days. All right, y'all, let's go ahead and get into it. It's been a long time since we've had a pod, and I guess I have to kind of explain why that is. Well, first of all, it's mostly because I've been lazy and stressed. That's a terrible combination to be, but I've been lazy and stressed. I actually did record an episode last week. I think we dropped 3 episodes last week, I think, maybe 2. But I did record an episode that I was supposed to drop actually today. Well, today's Tuesday, so whenever this comes out, but supposed to drop today. Well, actually, probably even actually yesterday. Actually, that should have dropped probably Friday or Saturday. I recorded that a while ago. Yeah, I recorded that Thursday. Jesus Christ. Yeah, no, I should have put that out, but I didn't. I decided to record episode because me and Jeff were not able to link last week. I addressed it in that episode, but I guess I'll address it again. Me and Jeff were not able to link last week because Jeff is dealing with some type of illness. It's been bad. I mean, not like fuck. Well, I will let him talk about it whenever he comes back, but Jeff's been dealing with illness for a while, so because of that, he decided that it wasn't best to get together for the pod. I thought that, I don't think it was that bad, but, you know, who am I to judge? He felt that way, so it is what it is. We were going to reschedule, but it was so late in the week, it wouldn't have got out in time. It would have just been, gefilte fish. So, decided against it, went ahead and recorded an episode, and the episode that I recorded, actually, I guess I wasn't really lazy. I guess I should tell the truth, since y'all aren't getting the whole truth. I'll think about that. I did record an episode, and in that episode, it was kind of along the, how should I say this? Not the exact same theme or subject or really any similarity at all. But I think this kind of gives you a bit of insight of the vulnerability. Maybe. I haven't listened to it. I don't know. But I feel like I said things that I don't know how I feel about them being out there just yet. I gotta go back and listen to it, maybe. I might drop that episode as Spotify exclusive. But it was kind of along the lines of the Insomnia series, if you remember that. And I think it was, 3-4 episodes, the Insomnia, when, that was just a dark time. When that whole situation was going, it wasn't going on, but it was going on in my mind mentally. So, yeah, whatever. But it was kind of along those lines. And I was like, And it also kind of, it was also kind of a period piece. I wouldn't really say it was evergreen because the situation at hand was somewhat addressed in multiple ways very soon after the fact. But I felt away in the moment. I felt away. I guess I'll explain just a little bit. I've been stressed out. I've been stressed out with work. I've been stressed out with fucking life. I just been stressed. I've just been kind of stressed. Kind of stressed the past probably 15, 20 so days. It's been not the best 15, 20 so days, but they're getting much better. Actually, so much better. Like, today was a great day, but it was rough during that time period, and I really, really needed a distraction. And it was hard to go through with the distractions that I wanted to go through with. So because of that, it kind of spiraled and it just got even worse. And then I got mad and I was, in my feelings a little bit. So I decided to record, and well, we haven't had an episode drop in the past couple of days. So, you know what I mean? I just felt the way, cause it's, I don't know, maybe I might accidentally find a way to talk about it on this episode, but we're back. I know it's been a minute. Jeff's sick, so joined with me today by nobody. I feel like Ernie Johnson. No sponsors. Well, we've been had no sponsors, but we also now have no co-host. Well, this week. But that isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's just a different thing. I want to talk, before that, I guess if I was going to elaborate a little bit on the work stress, which has actually gotten much better in the past couple of days, so, yeah, but on the work stress, I'll let y'all know this. There's a possibility that, the consistency of episodes may go down a little bit. Well, I guess I should rephrase that better. There's a possibility in the near future that we'll be recording every other week as opposed to every week. And if Jeff is listening to this podcast, that's probably breaking news to him. But, that's what happens when I don't see you for 2 weeks. So, yeah, we may be dialing it back just a little bit, but not really dialing it back, but just because of some things that may or may not be going on, we may need to go to every other week. We may need to. Actually, now I hope Jeff doesn't hear this, because I think he would love to go every other week, so. There's that. Well, fuck it. If that's what he wants, then hopefully we're fucking even better on those every other weeks. But that wouldn't happen until at the earliest, like, I don't know, probably April. Maybe mid-March, April. Don't worry about it. Right now, we are committed to there will at least be one episode a week. At least. And I appreciate the loyal listeners, the consistent listeners, the subscribe listeners, the ones that like and rate and, hell, even share the podcast. I like you. If you fit into that category, I like you. Unless you're one person, you could fit in that category. That just doesn't make any sense to me. If there's no animosity, why create the animosity? It blows my mind. If there's no animosity, why manufacture it? It don't have to be like this. We can disagree and still like be like almost even possibly friends. My best friend in the world. As much as things that we agree on, we disagree on some things as well. And that's okay. That's still my brother for life. It is what it is. Some of those things we disagree with, other people share in common. But I guess they feel stronger about those things. I guess they feel much stronger because there's no animosity, but we're just going to manufacture it. Okay, cool, whatever. Things are changing, guys. Things are changing. This 2024's thus far, it was looking real, real bad. It got off to a really rocky start, but this could end up being an amazing ass year. An amazing ass year. So, as a matter of fact, speaking of how it can be an amazing ass year, let's talk about Bitcoin for a minute. If you're somebody that's already been, you know, acquiring sats, averaging into Bitcoin, I know it's a pretty penny. Well, depending on, you know, what your money's like, but I know it's a pretty penny for most people. But if you can afford to put I think it's currently like $57,000. If you can afford to put $57,000 down on one whole Bitcoin, I promise you, you won't regret it. I promise you, you won't regret it in 8 months. Not financial advice, but I'm going to continue to buy Bitcoin. In the past week, it's up 9%. And now, it's obviously very volatile. It's cryptocurrency. It's just like the stock market, but even more so volatile because it's 24 hours. So it can go up and down. I understand some people are risk averse. Understandable. Completely understandable. In the past week, though, if you had the courage to be a Bitcoin holder, you saw that your portfolio went up 9% this week. Depending on how long you've been holding it, it went up 35% in the past month, and in the past year, it's gone up 145%. So, you know, again, obviously, that it varies. There are some days, like, now that's what it's been for the week, month, and year, but, you know, I'm sure there's, well, I'm not sure, I know for a fact, there was days in there where it was bad. it was bad. But all together, it's still been pretty positive for the past ever. And it only continues to go up. And maybe people don't know this. I feel like people do, but maybe it's not common sense. But you don't have to put $57,000 in for Bitcoin. You could put $1 in. It's fractional. You can buy pieces. You can buy chunks. You can buy as much or as little as you want. It's as long as it's still out there. There's only 21 million out there. But speaking of which, the halving is coming soon, which I believe is part of the reason why Bitcoin's been booming the past couple of ever. Well, the past week. Because obviously there's been a lot of ETFs that are now accepting Bitcoin. Bitcoin is, I think it's now in the asset class. It's legal tender, and I believe El Salvador, and they got to be booming right now. It's the future. It's the future. I would say adapt or die. Well, actually, yeah, I think it is adapt or die. I think it is adapt or die. When the financial experts and the people that you listen to for financial advice are telling you not to get it, or they're telling you like all the risk and all the reasons why you should stay away from it while also acquiring it themselves, I don't know. Do as I say, not as I do. I don't know. Well, hey, you decide whatever works best for you. But the halving is coming soon, and pretty much what that means is the amount of Bitcoin, there's only 21 million Bitcoin that will ever be available, ever be in circulation, ever. And there's Bitcoin miners, they're able to mine X amount, yeah, that's computer shit, whatever, XYZ. You don't even really got to understand that shit to really understand what the fuck's going on. Shit, I don't really completely understand this shit, but I have a good understanding of the crypto just I have a very strong base fundamental understanding of cryptocurrencies. So if you understand that, and you understand that only 21 million will ever exist, and when the next halving happens, even less will ever be a part of circulation, which only means it's going to be even more scarce. And when it's that scarce, then the price is obviously going to go up. And also when you compound that with it being added to ETFs and being classified as an asset and shit like that, like, yeah, you know, when you know, companies like BlackRock are investing in a Bitcoin, you know, you should probably do that. If a whole fucking country is going to make it their legal tender, I mean, the whole fate of the country depends on it. I think there's some sustainability there, but you know, whatever. But when the halving happens, expect the price of Bitcoin, the floor of Bitcoin, to go up. The past 2-3 years, I would say the floor, well, the basement, the lowest I believe Bitcoin's been the best, what, 3-4 years is around like 13,000-14,000, something like that. That's like the absolute floor or bottom. But when I say floor, I mean like where it's gonna kind of get comfortable and kind of hang around. For a while, it's kind of been comfortable and hanging around between 20,000 and 30,000. That's where it was for a long, 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 long time. After this next happening, I think that floor is going to be around where we're at right now, if not a little bit more. And Bitcoin's gone up the past week. Now, if it's able to find a steady, consistent floor of about 50, 55, between 50 and 60,000, then, I mean, that's fire for people that have already been in and already believe. But it could be a bit of a deterrent to people that are still trying to get in, still new to it, still don't really understand it or whatever. What I like to liken it to is email. Believe it or not, I forgot what it was. I was watching a Warriors game the other day, and there was a commercial for a Warriors game. It was some real estate commercial or whatever. And pretty much the whole point or gist of the commercial was like, it's dumb people are buying houses, or I guess maybe I shouldn't say dumb, but duh. I don't know what to call somebody who's an adult that doesn't have an email or know what an email is. Like, I don't want to say dumb, but I don't know what to call that individual. But basically, the commercial was, they were like, oh, yeah, we emailed you the paperwork. Did y'all look it over everything? And, like, the couple were just sitting there like, oh, yeah, email. Yeah, we, we looked at it, yeah. And the realtor, like, could obviously pick up on the fact that, like, no, they didn't. And she pulls out their laptop and they're like, oh, don't worry about it. We can do it together. And I forgot what the little catchphrase or slogan. I saw the commercial like 3-4 times and I thought it was fucking hilarious and sad at the same time. So I wish I remember what the fucking tag was. But basically, I don't have an exact statistic on it and I don't feel like looking it up. I feel very comfortable and confident in saying, I think, fuck, I forget. There's some third world countries out there for real. Okay, if you have access and know what the internet is, I think it's a 75% chance you have an email address. If you know what the internet is and have access to the internet, I think you know what an email address is. Well, because so many people know what an email address is and even has an email address, I liken cryptocurrency to that. Right now, if you're not in it, obviously, you can go your day-to-day life without even thinking or anything, using, thinking, anything about cryptocurrency, obviously. Just like in the 80s, 90s, part of the 2000s, you could do the exact same thing with an email. You could do the exact same thing with a cell phone. It's a little different today. As things continue to grow and progress, well, I want to say progress, but as things continue, as technology continues to grow and progress, better yet, I think we're going to be going even more so digital. And these cryptocurrencies are picking up steam, picking up traction. And again, there's a whole fucking country that depends on it. There's people like you can get your paycheck in Bitcoin. And honestly, I don't think that's a terrible idea. Honestly, a lot of changes coming in the near future, guys. A lot of changes. But, Bitcoin's going up. The halving, I believe, is April. I think it's like the third week of April. So I'm thinking, I'm expecting that Bitcoin is going to continue to steadily climb until around. Honestly, I think there's going to be some FOMO. Honestly, I think Bitcoin's going to steadily climb. I mean, yeah, there will be days again, like I said, where it goes down. Maybe even weeks that it goes down. But in the grand scheme of things, I think Bitcoin's going to go up significantly for the next 11, 12 months. So damn near a year. I do. And there's also actual like trends. Like if you can look at the charts and read graphs and everything, like there's actually like reason to think and believe that. And you can also track like all the other halvenings that have happened. Every time a halvening of Bitcoin has happened, the floor has gone up tremendously. The price of Bitcoin altogether has gone up tremendously. We sit here today with Bitcoin at damn near $57,000 and another halvening, which again, the past four halvenings, every single time, the price of Bitcoin has gone up tremendously. So there's good reason to believe that it's going to happen again at the next halvening. We sit here today with Bitcoin being around $57,000. $57,000. Halvening is coming in April. It's not a secret. Is happening in April. Like, if I looked it up, I could tell you the exact fucking date. Hell, if you actually are smart and give a fuck, you could look it up yourself now that I'm putting the idea in your fucking head. If I'm putting an idea in your head, I would like to think that people that listen to this podcast are not retarded. But, well, never mind. Because I also forget Hoopers listen to the podcast. And, well, that's a whole nother thing in its own right. That's a whole nother thing. The Hooper mentality is something that we're going to discuss whenever the next time we link up, Jeff. And if you're listening to this, be prepared. I would love to talk about it. Just like, I mean, we've talked about it in the past. But, you know, new things have happened. So let's rehash it. Again, not financial advice. Do whatever you want with that information. Also, I will say another thing with Bitcoin. If you're somebody that's, like, a little risque, and like it, well, I don't think there's anybody that's risque that doesn't own Bitcoin. But for the small Venn diagram cross section of people that are, if you feel a little risque and you don't have Bitcoin, well, if you really, really, really risque, go ahead and go ahead and dabble in some other coins. Go ahead and dabble. Now, obviously, you know, don't just, you know, just buy bullshit. Don't fucking buy Dogecoin. Well, I mean, there's no utility yet in Dogecoin. That's why, like, there's other coins that actually have utility, and that's why they have more value. They either have utility, or they're scarce, or there's a combination of both, like Bitcoin. But, I mean, there's coins that, you know, Bitcoin runs the entire market. If Bitcoin's going up, then the other coins are going up. And the other strong coins, they're easily going up. And Ethereum still has, I don't want to say Bitcoin potential, because Bitcoin is Bitcoin, but Ethereum is the main network for basically all cryptos. So Bitcoin, Ethereum, other cryptos, if you are risk-A, Solana's been booming. Cardano, what else? Cosmos has been moving, but I don't really love Cosmos. I just have Cosmos because on Coinbase you get a 10% return for staking it. So, I mean, why not? But I don't really love it. Eventually, I'm going to convert all of that into Bitcoin. Also, I recommend if you're somebody that's really, really, really risky, but you want to be smart and risky, then you should probably get you a hard wallet. A hard wallet is like a Trezor, Trezor Model T, Trezor, T-R-E-Z-O-R. If you get you a Trezor, it's a hard wallet. So, because the thing is with Coinbase, like, say you have a Coinbase and you got all your coins and everything, but say for whatever reason, Coinbase gets indicted tomorrow, or Coinbase goes down, or just something happens with Coinbase, or you can't log in, like any number of things, because this is another service, another provider that could be very problematic, especially if you're somebody that lives with, like the only card you have in your wallet is a fucking Coinbase card. That could be problematic if you can't access your Coinbase accounts, and you're pretty much at the hands of Coinbase, and, you know, governments can get involved with, you know, companies and things like that. So you don't want to be exposed in that way. So having a hard wallet that kind of mitigates that exposure. So something, I mean, you don't have to do that. You don't have to. I mean, that's just something if you're, I guess, honestly, that's just something that's another fail safe if you're risque, smart, and paranoid. And I think the best crypto investors have a nice, healthy combination of those three. I think they have a nice combination of those three. But yeah, Bitcoin, if Bitcoin moves, the market moves. So, hey, just saying, and you know, if, I'm not going to say anymore. I will say this because I want to help people. Well, most people. Whenever I can, better yet. If you are a person that does not own a Coinbase account, not have a Coinbase account, and obviously there's way other places to do that. Coinbase is just real basic. It's a bit more mainstream. People are familiar with it, whatever. But there's plenty of crypto exchanges where you can buy and sell crypto. But if you're somebody that has Coinbase, I'm going to talk about Coinbase because that's what I use, but I transfer to my Trezor. But you can buy USDC, which is a stable coin. A stable coin means it is always and forever. The price does not fluctuate. It is $1. One coin, $1. That's USDC. That's what it is. Very simple, very basic. Well, Coinbase was nice enough to, just for having, or better yet, just for owning USDC, just for owning it, you ain't got to stake it, you ain't got to do nothing, because staking is a little bit different, and, you know, that's maybe a little, I mean, it's not really high level, but, you know, that it's just different. Staking, but yeah, think of staking as fixed term bonds, like the fucking things at the bank. I was looking at Trezor, no, fuck. It's something that you can get at the bank, and like, it's like for like, you have it in there for like 3-4 months or whatever, and like it goes up like, what, 2-3%, like you get the interest, but it's locked in there. You can't touch it, you can't take anything out. I forgot what those things are called. God damn. But anyway, just for typically the rates that you get on those, like at banks, are not, it's like maybe like, I think a good one will probably be like, I can forget what the term is that I'm thinking. It's not a savings account, but it's something else, some type of, fuck, I don't know, but you probably get what, maybe like high 2 low 3% interest for those given time periods, like those set time. You can do 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 months and you accrue certain amounts of interest on that money. Well, just by having USDC in your Coinbase account, they're, as of right now, giving you 5.1%. And it's, they've actually been doing that for about 4 or 5 months, it seems like, at this point. Just for putting the same money that you have in your savings account, that's probably getting you like 2%. That same money, if you just had that sitting in USDC in Coinbase, you'd be getting an extra 3% on your money. Now, you might say, well, I mean, but you were also just talking about, I mean, what if something happens with Coinbase? Like, you might not be able to access your shit, XYZ, yada, yada, yada. All those things are still true, valid, and could possibly be there. Coinbase has pretty kind of stood the test of time. Like, there's a lot of crypto exchanges, and some of them have gone under, and people have been fucked over by it. Shout out Sam Bankman-Fried. But Coinbase is, seems to be legit. And they're giving you 5.1%. 5.1%. I bank with Navy Federal and USAA. Like, you know, I got like the Army shit or whatever. And they don't offer nothing like that for a savings account. They don't offer nothing like that for whatever the... I cannot think of what those fucking short-term fixed things are called right now. But they offer them more than them shits too. And the thing with USDC, it's still fluid. You can spend it, you can trade it, you can convert it, but the other shit in the bank, nah, that shit locked the fuck in. Your savings account, you can spend it, you can move, you can do whatever you want with your savings account, but you're getting what? Maybe 1-2%? When if you just have the number on the computer screen that you're looking at, if you were looking at that in a different app, you'd actually somehow be making more money. It's crazy when you think about it like that. It's crazy when you think about it like that. It's just numbers on a fucking computer screen. It's bullshit. Money isn't real. But whatever. Whatever. It is what it is. Do what you want. I don't give a fuck. Not financial advice. Since we're talking about money and day trading, well, not day trading, but well, we are now. But since we're talking about money and Bitcoin and crypto and all that, why not go ahead and talk about the... I think this is a brilliant move and a move that should be that will be massively adopted soon. Now, soon, I don't know. Well, actually, soon can be really, really soon because we're going to see how it works. Wendy's is now going to be day trading burgers. They are going to be fluctuating their prices based off of, I'm not sure what it's based off of. In my mind, I was going to pull up the article and read it while I was recording this podcast, but... why the fuck would I be that thorough? I ain't a fucking journalist. I ain't claiming to be a fucking journalist. Look it up, nigga. Or just think I'm making shit up. I don't give a shit. But Wendy's is apparently going to be essentially day trading burgers. They're going to be fluctuating their prices based on what I would think, because I'm not looking it up. But I would think, you know, probably what the traffic is typically like at that time. The quote unquote freshness of the food, because I mean, we want to believe that, you know, they make it all back there at that time. And in most cases they do, like, I mean, they do make it, they do prepare it. I won't say fresh, but they do prepare it whenever you order it. In most cases, I would like to believe. But if they don't prepare it at that time, the ingredients are already prepared. They're literally just putting a sandwich together at that point. So, let's say they probably have some burger patties. I mean, hell, I think Jeff spoke about on the pod before how, like, they would, like, have Sonic patties, but they would make them fresh by, you know, like, putting the water and shit like that. I think we talked about that in the episode. So, they may have patties that aren't as fresh, or, like, I won't say aren't as, like, they're still good to eat, but they're not, like, they weren't cooked after you ordered it. But I think we should have the common sense. I think that's the idea that we want to have in our head. But once you really actually fucking think about it, if I ordered this meal and in 45 seconds that meal's in my hands, it probably didn't start off 45 seconds ago as a raw pink burger. Probably didn't. But anyway, I think that, you know, freshness and traffic and, you know, I'm sure there's other factors that they're going to look at. But I think that's great. If you're at a spot during like the high traffic lunch hour or whatever, well, they kind of got you by the balls to a degree. I mean, obviously, they don't want to completely price gouge you because then you just won't go. But you do have an opportunity to kind of price gouge some niggas. But with that being said, in the slow hours, like, you know, the after, like, you know, that like little mid-afternoon window when everybody but Chick-fil-A seems to have like a wide open drive-through, during those times, maybe, again, I don't know what they're basing this off of, they may have lower prices. If they're smart, during those really hot, busy times, they would actually charge lower prices. And during those low traffic times, a little bit higher prices. Now, I want to see how big the fluctuations are going to be. In my mind, I'm thinking they'll probably be between, I mean, like 20, 30 cents. Like, it's going to be cents. I don't think it's going to be fucking dollars. And when it's cents, I think Americans have a pretty high tolerance of being robbed, especially if we're getting something out of it, like we're actually literally getting a meal. I think Americans are pretty okay with being robbed in that sense. I mean, we're already getting robbed by every way, shape, and form in taxes. So why not just add another form of robbery and get in the fucker, get in the Baconator? Why not? I mean, shit, these motherfuckers got the fucking new Cinnabon, like, all melts or whatever the fuck. I might get that shit tomorrow. I ain't gonna lie to you, I might get that shit tomorrow. But I saw, like, they doing some Cinnabon shit now. Let me tell you something. If I leave where the fuck I'm at, I get the fuck in my car. I drive over to a motherfucking Wendy's in the morning, and I say I want the fucking Cinnabon melts or whatever the fuck that shit's called. Let me tell you something. Now, obviously, it's got to be, you know, affordable, like, you know, reasonable to a degree. Like, you can't just completely price gouge a nigga. But if them motherfuckers say $10 for a little cup of some Cinnabon pieces with frosting on it, I ain't gonna complain. I might not get it ever again, but then again, Cinnabon is fire, so I might. I ain't gonna complain. I ain't gonna complain. Hey, y'all got me. Y'all got me that shit fire. And I do find it interesting that they're unveiling this. I gotta go tomorrow. That shit's gotta be fucking fire. They dropping that shit, and now they fucking day trading burgers. Oh, yeah, no, they about to, yeah. And now they doing breakfast. And I've been hearing things that Wendy's is actually, I've been hearing they have a pretty good breakfast. I've still never had it personally myself, but I might need to do that. I might need to do that one of these days. But I think that this is a great idea. I think that this will eventually be mass adopted. I think it makes perfect sense. Well, to me, it makes perfect sense, but it's because I look at the stock market. I look at the crypto market, and I understand how things fluctuate. Like, I'm no longer, what should I say? The little part in your brain that, like, gets triggered or whatever whenever you notice, like if you looked at your bank account and you know you haven't spent any money today, but you see you have like $800 less or $8,000 less than you had in there the last time you checked and you know you haven't spent anything, I would understand the concern. I understand that. So the security that you get in not having to deal with that by having it in a bank account, completely understandable. But I'm pretty numb to that by now. I'm numb to that, like, because of crypto and stocks and everything. Like, I will open up I'll open up my Coinbase and be like, oh, shit, we are 4K, bet. I'll open that bitch up 30 minutes later, like, oh, shit, I owe these niggas $8,000. How the fuck that happened? Like, I'm used to swings. I'm used to what it is. So because of that, I know I'm not going to be bothered at all by the fucking whatever these fluctuating prices are. Because again, I see fluctuating prices on the daily, looking at the stock market, looking at cryptocurrencies. I see, like, oh, this is up now, oh, it's down now, it's up now, it's down now, it's up now, it's down now. I see that. I understand that. And if I really, 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 really want to get that stock or that crypto or whatever, I don't give a fuck how much it is at that moment in time. And that's for an investment. So imagine a nigga that is craving a Baconator. Now, as long as that shit not fucking retarded, don't fucking tell me $99.87, nigga, I'll beat your motherfucking ass. But if you tell me $13.65, all right, whatever, nigga, here, nigga, damn. It is what it is. I don't know how much that shit costs right now. So $13.65, all right, whatever, sounds good. I mean, that's kind of a lot, but all right, whatever, I don't give a, like, I don't think it's going to be that crazy, at least to start. Maybe it will get crazy, but at least to start.
And I think that's fire. I think that's amazing. You can, if you're somebody that's really, really, really paying attention, if you're somebody that's locked in like that, and like you understand the algorithm and the systems and everything that they got going on, you'll be able to get some really good deals. And I think that people that work hard to understand these things, I'm not saying that's me at all, but I mean, I have a little bit of understanding or acceptance or tolerance in fluctuating prices or whatever. I think people that are able to stomach that should, and have a strategy and understand how to, like, you know, work around that, should be rewarded. I'm sorry. I think so. I mean, it would, like, we all love the dollar store. Everything's a dollar. Well, that shit ain't been a dollar for a motherfucking long time. That's bullshit. That's marketing. Walking that bitch shit gonna be five. Just like motherfucking goddamn. I remember high school when they first $5 foot long. That shit was never five motherfucking dollars. I don't know where he's at now, but shout out to Ricky Henderson. I remember him being mad as motherfucking hell when that nigga went to a Subway one day trying to get a $5 foot long, and his bitch said, "All right, sir, that'd be $5.41." He looked at that bitch like, "Bitch, what the fuck? $5.41? The commercial said $5 foot long. The fuck you talking about?" He didn't do all that. I'm putting sauce on it, but like that, I mean, don't market me something. Just like KD said, why the fuck you don't tell me this shit if I can't fucking have it? Or whatever the fuck he said in Uncut Gems. I still haven't seen the movie. Still haven't. But fluctuating prices, not mad at it. Not mad at it at all. Because it's not going to jump fucking 10, 15, 20, 30, $100. It's not going to do that. So if you at the grocery store and you getting your fucking Cap'n Crunch, and, you know, when you pick it up, it says it's $2.63. But you get to the register and that bitch is $3.13. That's a bit of a jump, but you gonna put it back. Niggas got too much pride and ego. That's how the business is gonna get us. They want us to think the businesses are greedy and the businesses are evil and they want to take all our money. Nigga, ain't nobody fucking making you spend your money nowhere. Nobody. But niggas got pride. Niggas got ego. Shout out to Shaq. I think he told a story about fucking buying a car or buying a couple of cars at a car dealership because the people were like disrespecting him, acting like, oh, he ain't got no money or he ain't this or he ain't that. And actually, now that I think about it, that story is absolute bullshit. Shaq, you are 7 fucking feet tall. You are not a fucking secret agent. They might not have known who you be and what you capable of, but nigga, they know you have money, nigga. What the fuck? That's actually, now that I think about it, that nigga was motherfucking lying. That nigga was lying. Another reason I hate this nigga. All right, whatever. Anyways, Wendy's is day trading burgers. Whatever, don't give a fuck. All right, now I'm going to go ahead and end with this. And this, I've been thinking, battling lately about the idea and the concept of sharing people that you love. Because of this thought experiment, well, not really a thought experiment, it's my life, but because of this, I've been really questioning and even more so thinking about the logistics of love. Now, I guess you can't think of logistics when you're thinking about love because logistics are logical and love is emotional. Those things do not coincide. We try our best to make a marriage between the two, but at the end of the day, it's putting a square peg in a round hole. It don't work. It doesn't happen. It doesn't fit. But how do you, and when I say sharing people that you love, I mean, you can love anybody. I put it like this. I'll never forget. I remember when I was younger, I was probably like 5, 6, 7 years old. We had a lock-in party at Peter Piper Pizza. And I didn't even know they did them shits. My mom and dad said, "Hey, you want to have a lock-in party at Peter Piper Pizza?" I was like, "Shit, I didn't even know they did that." So, nigga, yes, I'll be the first nigga to have a lock-in at Peter Piper Pizza. And it was fire. And at the time, my best friend in the whole world, he obviously was invited to my party, and like he got there a little late, so like for me the party didn't start until my nigga got there, and he didn't get there till late. So I'm like, man, this is cool and all, appreciate everybody that's here, but like, I actually, that's another thing, Now that I think about that, and I'm going back and having a memory and everything, like, I remember being in that moment, and, like, it's my birthday, we had Peter Piper Pizza, it's a lock-in, everybody here for me type shit, I know everybody here, yada, 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 X, Y, Z. Thinking back, the narcissist that I am, thinking back, why the fuck are y'all having fun without me? Like, there was people all over just in the arcade, in the fucking ball pen, and just having a blast, having a time of their lives, doing whatever the fuck they... We had movies, we had games, it was lit. And everybody was in their own section, in their own zone with their people, and just having a good-ass time. But now that I think about it, all these years later, motherfucker, who the fuck... Nigga, this is my party. All of y'all should be on my dick and following me wherever the fuck I go and doing whatever the fuck I say. How dare you have fun at my party without me? What the fuck? That shit just pissed me off 24 years later. What the fuck? Oh, yeah, nah, hey, nah, I'm mad at some niggas. I might have to call Junior. What the fuck? Yeah, Junior, yeah, Alex Dean, yeah, nigga, I ain't forget, nigga, you was having a blast. What type of shit? Anyway, my fault, I'm getting off track. My friend KJ, my best friend when I was younger, and we're still, well, he's still up there on the list, but we're not as close as we used to be. But he's still up there on the list. I remember he was my best friend at the time, and I was like, yo, dog, hey, man, I can't wait till KJ get here. It's about to go down. We about to do this. We got the whole bitch rented out. We got whatever we want. We got pizza on deck. Like, nigga, we about to have the time of our lives, nigga. This is going to be a day we never going to forget. I haven't spoken to him about it, but I never forgot this day. This is why I never forgot this day. That's my best friend, talking about people that you love. I'm 5, 6, 7 years old. That's my best fucking friend. Yeah, I love that nigga. Pause. That's my dog. This man pulls up to the party with, I know I told this before, but anyway, this man pulls up to the party with this white boy. And I'm like, okay, I was young, but even then I was just like, I was looking at my mom, looking at my dad like, yo, what the fuck? Hold on, we got plus ones? What the fuck? We got plus ones in this bitch? Hold on. What the fuck? And then like, Kat just like, oh yeah, well nah, he was already spending the night with us. And like, you know, it just like happened to be the same time as a party. So, you know, he gonna come with us to the party. Huh? And then this nigga introduced, I'll never forget it. This nigga introduces his friend to me. It's like, hey, what's up, man? Hey, yo, this is my best friend, Sam. And Sam's like, oh, what's up, man? And like, oh, over time, we were real young, but like, we all kind of grew up together. I didn't obviously spend as much time with Sam because he, you know, I didn't know him like that, but I knew him through my friend. And he's like, oh, yo, what's up, man? Hey, I'm Sam, man. And I'm just like, yeah, what the fuck are you doing? Hey, yo, KJ, can I talk to you real quick? Hey, yo, what the fuck are you doing? And this nigga had the audacity, it's my fucking birthday party. And this nigga looked me dead in my 7-year-old eyes and said, oh yeah, this is my best friend Sam. And in my head, I'm just like, nigga, I'm your best friend. What the fuck are you doing? My best friend, you gonna do this shit to me? Hey, yo, mama, I don't get this nigga the fuck out of here. Both of them, if you wanna be on this bullshit, what are we doing? This is my party, what are you doing? My best friend, Sam. My best friend, kick your ass. What the fuck? No, I'm really talking crazy because that's actually like, we were really, really close. Our dads are like best friend. Like, he goes deep. Like, they grew up together type shit. But I like, they're just sharing people that you love. It's, you know, as a young child, you know, that's obviously very difficult to do. But as an older man, it's still difficult to do given the circumstances. It's obviously no secret that my mom and dad have separated and been separated for what 11, 12 years now, something like that. Well, my mom is deciding to get remarried, and okay. Now it's a whole thing, like the nigga that she getting married to, like that, like that's a whole thing within its own right, but you know, I'm not gonna get that vulnerable, I'm not gonna blow up the spot like that, but I was actually thinking about this the other day because they've been seeing each other for a minute. I wasn't thinking about them getting married, but I mean, whether they got married or not, they was together type shit. You know what I'm saying? But I was thinking about this the other day, and I'm just like, I don't want to put that out there. Or the idea out there, but I am not going to, I'm not sharing my mother with anybody that wasn't a part of my nuclear family. I don't give a fuck what you mean to her. Fuck you. Honestly. Like, yeah, sure, she has a new life and she's doing her thing. Cool, congratulations. I don't give a fuck nor want to ever have any part in that shit. If you want to have two separate lives, cool, do your thing. I'm going to be a part of this one. My worlds will never collide. And I thought, and I'm also thinking like, well, I mean, I guess that is kind of selfish of me, but then I'm also just like, yeah, but you're also asking me to be accepting and understanding. And if I gave even more details of the circumstance, which maybe I'll do on a Spotify, but I don't know. But if I gave even more details on the circumstance, like, you'd understand even more so. If you're a man, you'd understand even more so why, like, I'm not in support of this shit at all. But both of my parents were, both of my parents, their parents were married for 50 plus years, 55, 60 plus years, damn near, I want to say. No, definitely 50 plus years. So they can't relate. They have no idea what it is that I feel or think seeing them with other people. Of course you want them to be happy, but like, I just asked them, so how would you deal with seeing your mom and or dad or whatever, like, you know, all hugged up and kissed up and like calling them baby and all this shit with somebody that's not your biological? Now, for some people, you know, that's just what their entire life has been, because, you know, I guess they never had the nuclear family. Well, it's much easier to not appreciate it when you never had it. But when you had it and now you got to deal with, you know, what the fuck? And then also on top of that, when you had it, but now you don't have it, but the reason why you don't have it, both had it forever. That's fucked up. That's crazy. You can't even guide me. You can't even help me. And you also my motherfucking parent. But like, there's no, you have no experience, no expertise. There's literally nothing you could say to me. It's interesting. Something I thought about. Well, I thought about it in a different context, but then she dropped that bomb on me. But so, yeah. It also made me think about the origin of your mama jokes. Your mama jokes, I feel like, I try to avoid that, but I feel like your mama jokes only hit, they don't hit the same when you come from a nuclear family. Your mama jokes don't really hit because your mama jokes, like, you like obligated to like feel it's like being called a nigga, like, you're like by a white person, like, you like obligated to like be mad and stand 10 toes down and fucking fight and all that shit whenever a nigga say anything about your mama. But I understand why a nigga that only has his mama has to come from that perspective. A nigga that come from a nuclear family, like, yeah, hey, fuck, hey, don't talk about my mom, but also don't talk about my dad, but, like, don't talk about my fucking family. Like, I understand you being upset if there was, like, a whole your mama joke or whatever, like, you know what I mean? But I've noticed that niggas that come from nuclear families are very much less affected, bothered, or ever gave a fuck about your mama jokes. But it's the soft-ass, emotional niggas who was raised by these bitches that will fucking beat your motherfucking ass or kill you over a your mama joke. Shit's crazy. All right, y'all, that's all I got today. I got some other shit, but I guess I'll try to say something for Jeff. We're supposed to be podding later on this week, so if we don't pod later on this week, this episode will definitely be out before then. So if we don't pod later on this week, you know that I said it here first. It's because Jeff is on bullshit. Thank you for listening.